Be the Change comes as a solid recommendation from Jimmy Dooley. And before that, we heard from Chuck Gerard and Galilee and from Carolyn Ahrens, a song called Your Laugh. Good morning. It's 11 and a half past the hour, and we're joined now by Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist and a member of the board at Creation Moments. Those folks you can link to, by the way, from our website over on the right-hand page there, creationmoments.com is their website. And he brings us just scads of useful information every Monday. We often talk about science versus faith kinds of things, you know, creation versus evolution. And Don can kind of furnish us the scientific viewpoint on these things. And we've got some pure, I'm looking at a, this has got to be a science report here, Don. I'm looking at a list of dinosaur bodies, some from Texas, some from Colorado. Alaska, lots of them from Montana, a few more from Colorado, discovered as far back as the 80s. And something to, you know, we've talked about carbon dating before, but what have they discovered about the ages of these dinosaurs? What's the gist of this here?
Well, a group, basically what they did was they, not all dinosaurs are fossilized, and most of them aren't, actually. And what they discovered when they looked at the soft tissue in the bones, and the soft tissue meaning collagen and other fibrous type of tissue in the bones, was that, one, that there was soft tissue, which was kind of amazing, and that discovery was actually discovered by another scientist in North Carolina State University.
Now, this is all recent research? I guess it's re-research, isn't it?
Well, the soft tissue was discovered back in 2005, and that surprised scientists because you wouldn't expect dinosaur bones, which are supposedly 65 million years old, to have any soft tissue whatsoever. Now, that should have degraded long, long time ago. But here we have a bunch of bones that have soft tissue in them, and what these other researchers found was they dated the soft tissues is what they did, mm-hmm. and so they took meticulous care to clean the to clean the samples of any contamination, taking only the soft tissues from those fragments of bones, that bones that were intact, didn't have any cracks in them. And basically what they found was, gee, these tissues by carbon dating, it looks like it's between 22 to 39,000 years old.
How old were the bones supposed to be
originally? 65 million years old.
That's kind of a big jump.
It is a big jump.
Yeah, and I hate it when scientists are surprised because we kind of trust them to know what they're doing to begin with. So are we suggesting that these samples were not properly handled, not properly analyzed, both?
No, the samples were dated by apparently a laboratory that is very, very careful about dating such things. So, and as you mentioned, they got the same results regardless of where the bones were taken, whether it was from Texas or any of those other places you had mentioned. So, if you know, one sample was contaminated, for example, you would anticipate that you wouldn't get consistent results, and they got consistent results, pointing to a young age for the dinosaurs as opposed to, you know, the 65 million years age that everybody, well, had purported for these particular dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I'm looking at reports on 20 different dinosaurs here. There's a kind of dinosaurs I've never heard of, Acrocanthosaurus, a carnivorous dinosaur excavated near Glen Rose, Texas in 1984 was one of them, an Allosaurus, another carnivorous dinosaur excavated in 1989. That was near Grand Junction, Colorado, a duck-billed dinosaur from the Alaskan North Slope, another duck-billed dinosaur, Triceratops, found in, I'm not sure where that one was, but another Triceratops. So there's quite a variety of animals here, and I'm wondering if the original dating all put them, because there's a limit to carbon dating, and beyond which it's not really considered accurate. What is that limit?
Well, the standard thinking is that it's supposedly accurate to 50,000 years. This came within the supposed accuracy of the carbon dating. Now, you know, as we discussed before, I don't even believe these samples are as old as they're suggesting that they are, but at least we're moving in the right direction. In that we're going from 65 million years to 22,000 years or 30,000 years. But, you know, we know from Scripture, for example, that dinosaurs and man lived together. So,
yeah, where in Scripture did we get that? Where's that evidence? Is that Genesis?
It's Genesis 1.
Okay, we're assuming literal 24-hour days there, right?
Yes, and on day six, you know, all of the land creatures were made, the beast of the field, of which you would think, well, maybe dinosaurs are beasts of the field. So we get it from Genesis, and we also get it from Job, chapters 40 and 41.
Leviathan.
When God talks about the Leviathan and the behemoth. Both descriptions the behemoth is not a hippopotamus because a hippopotamus doesn't have a tail like a cedar tree. It sounds like the behemoth is actually something like a Brachiosaurus or something like that because he kind of hides in the swamps. But the Leviathan is a water creature that, breathes fire. And God is using these two examples of giant creatures to say to Job, you know, can you create something like this? I mean, where were you, you know, when I, you know, created these things?
So what I'm hearing from you is science has had it wrong all this time, but the Flintstones got it right.
The Flintstones and the dinosaurs were there, yes. They were, Mr. Flintstone and his family were obviously together with Dino.
Well, obviously Hanna-Barbera knows something that we don't then.
The other interesting thing about this article in this presentation, this was a presentation given in August to the 2012 Western Pacific Geophysics meeting in Singapore. It was at a conference of the American Geophysical Union and the Asian Oceania Geoscience Society. So it was a kind of a joint meeting. And the abstract actually was on the website for this particular conference. And when this presentation was given, the abstract was taken down for some reason. And you did not hear about this in any media, in any major media. And the abstract was a press release was sent out, and that was kind of what I sent you was the press release from this particular abstract. That was not picked up by any of the media.
And that might be the bigger story, even bigger than the revised age of the dinosaurs from 65 million to 20 to 40,000 years. I mean, that alone is a huge jump, but to think that someone would censor the scientifically valid findings disturbs me. Who would have done that?
Well, apparently all the major media outlets did it because none of them published anything about it. And you would have thought that, wow, you know, this is a major finding and we should say something about it unless you have an agenda. And this doesn't fit into your agenda.
Hmm. What did the people of the conference give for a reason to pull the abstract and then, maybe they wouldn't have to give a reason why nobody covered it?
Right, exactly.
Did they have a reason for pulling the report?
There was no reason.
And nothing given? Nobody marched in the hallways or jumped up and down and raised their fists?
There's no indication of that. I mean, it was like, okay, the paper was given and then the abstract was taken down. I mean, usually, you know, at these scientific meetings, you have to send in an abstract of what you're going to be talking about months and months in advance. And those abstracts are reviewed by the folks who are putting on the meeting, which in this case are other scientists. And if the abstract does not warrant discussion at the meeting, they would just reject your paper. But here the paper was accepted. The abstract was up on the website, and it wasn't until after the presentation was made that someone made the decision that, oh, this is disturbing, so we better take it down.
Has anybody said that? I mean, has anybody said this is a disturbing article? You say they just said nothing.
Yes, there's no evidence of anyone saying anything about the article other than it was just taken off the website.
Who are they? I mean, do they have names? And
they don't have.
They have no names.
Yeah, I don't know. The information that I have does not name anyone, you know, who was responsible for making that decision or for taking the abstract off the website. All the other abstracts were left on the website, but this particular one that happens to, put a hole in evolution, and in particular the evolutionary time frame, it disturbs some people, apparently. And so we can't talk about, we can't discuss this really openly in the public forum. This has to be done behind closed doors.
Too many ruffled feathers, too many maybe grants at stake and reputations at stake. And you know, we've talked about some similar developments in the past. For example, you'd mentioned a study that kind of turned carbon dating on its ear with its accuracy. And that was the polonium controversy. I don't remember the name of the organization who had kind of reviewed the accuracy of carbon dating and found some holes in the practice. That organization, again, was what? Do you remember?
Well, it was actually just radioisotope dating in general, and it was the dating of Earth samples, basically, zirconium. And uranium and zirconium and uranium, polonium, and the isotope, the degradation products of uranium. The group was the Institute of Creation Research. They had gotten 7 or 8 scientists in many different disciplines together to look at this problem of radioisotope dating in general, but in specific about the age of the Earth. And so if you go to the Institute of Creation Research, if you go to their website, ICR.org is their website, and search for RATE or the RATE study, you'll find information about it. But their basic finding was that at least 2 times in the past, the degradation or the decay rates for isotopic elements must have accelerated, which means that instead of, for example, the half-life of let's say carbon-14 being, I don't have it on the top of my head, but let's say it's like 50,000 years, then at some point in time, it must have accelerated to much shorter half-life, which then would put your dating using isotopic methods, if you're looking really far back in history, at question. Because if uranium decay rate is accelerated, then you would expect other elements.
So we're saying that well. for carbon and isotope dating to be accurate, there has to be a constant level of the C14, the carbon-14 in the atmosphere through all of history. Otherwise, it creates variations in the findings that we don't account for, because we've made that faulty assumption.
Well, the degradation rate. Mm-hmm. So what they look at is they assume that the degradation, in all of these dating methods, they assume that the degradation rate is constant. The decay rate, I should say, the decay rate of these isotopes are constant. And if they're not constant, then if you go outside your calibration curve, for example, you don't know what the results really mean. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we know that they originally used tree rings and the carbon in tree rings to build, for example, the your standard curve for carbon 14. Mm-hmm. But trees aren't, so the oldest trees are like four to 5,000 years old. And so you have a limit of, you know, that range with your dating method. Mm-hmm. Now, if you assume that carbon 14 degrades at a certain rate, or it has a decay rate at a certain rate, then you might be able to extend that back in the history. And that's what they've done, obviously, for this particular study. Mm-hmm. But if your decay rate changes, you know, with time, if there was some point in time where that decay rate accelerated, so the half-life of carbon-14, for example, instead of being, you know, 50,000 years or whatever, it now is 1,000 years, then your model breaks down.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that, you mentioned that there were maybe two periods in history where apparently levels were not what they are today, or don't meet the standards of the model and expectation. Can that be correlated with time periods given to us in Scripture?
Well, and that's just conjecture. One would think possible events would be the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. It would be one, and then the other could be the global flood. Mm-hmm. Could have had possibly an effect on the decay rates, but I mean, that's, you know, that's just pure mm-hmm. speculation as to when, you know, those events actually took place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's important to know that carbon dating is based on some assumptions that may not be accurate. We can certainly take that from this. And I'm wondering what further findings they might construe from this data. I'd love to release this to somebody who cares, you know.
And yeah, well, I mean, it kind of breaks down the model of you know, evolution, because evolution would suggest and has suggested strongly that dinosaurs were way before man ever walked on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. This is reminiscent of some findings that were actually in near Waco, Texas, where there's a fellow that also has a kind of a creation museum, you know, down there. Dr. Carl Baugh, and he, in the Paluxy riverbeds, he has found evidence of footprints of both dinosaurs and man together. And he's taken pictures, he's done castings of the footprints, and you can see, you know, like a man or a woman mm-hmm. running, for example. The stride is such that it looks like the folks were actually running at the time. And in that same layer of mud or clay, or you know, it's hardened, basically, mm-hmm. Material, you would have dinosaur footprints. He tried to release this information, you know, to the news, and he was ridiculed mercilessly.
Mm-hmm. Well, this suggests that we're closed off to evidence. We've swallowed this assumption and digested it so that it's now part of our national makeup, our outlook on things scientific, and we just refuse new evidence. That's a little disconcerting.
Well, this is beyond national or something that goes to the edge of the world. This is a worldwide conference that was held in Singapore, mm-hmm. and so it's world scientists that the conspiracy is even bigger. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how anybody could continue to consider themselves a credible organization if they just kind of willy-nilly pull reports out of the schedule and not give a reason why. And if the report was, or the abstract was accepted in the first place, and even published in the schedule to be discussed, and then yanked for no particular reason, and no responses has been given. This is only about a month, Don. Has anybody been trying to ask those questions? I mean,
they pull it? The authors certainly are asking those questions, and I haven't gotten any evidence, from them that they've gotten a response.
Is Creation Moments moving on this? Would they assume any kind of responsibility for disseminating this word?
Well, we will keep in touch with the authors. Actually, the authors sent their abstract in this particular press release to us, and that's how we found out about it initially. And so the authors are trying to get the word out, and I would assume that the authors are investigating or trying to investigate. Okay, why was our abstract pulled off your website? Now they did give the presentation, so the information was made available at the meeting, and they challenged other scientists and say, look, do the experiments yourself and see what results you get.
Well, this was only a month ago, so maybe some of that's happening. So maybe this is not the end of the story, at least hopefully. Don, this is fascinating stuff, and we run across these stories a lot. I remember we were talking about genetically engineered corn and soybeans just a few weeks ago. I had a tremendous reaction on the website, people really interested in that subject, and had an email from one listener who wondered if we might not do another program on it sometime in October, and maybe talk to some of the people who were involved in that Norwegian study, or who at least are very familiar with that study. And I think we'll do that. Looking forward to doing that. But it would be
a good follow-up to what we did before, because we kind of just touched the surface of that, and there's certainly more evidence for the dangers, if you will, or in genetically engineered foods.
We call it incomplete science. We put out products. It's like when the money gets involved. Maybe the pure science was beautifully done, and new products were developed, but at that point money gets involved, and then biases insert themselves, and sometimes we get warped results and expectations out of what was originally some very good pure science, which is just, I guess that's just the human process. We tend to corrupt things as we get our
well,
hands
I mean,
on
the science. The science was good, and it was an interesting. The unfortunate thing is that when you're dealing with the food chain and you start messing around with food products in this way, you got to be extremely careful. And while they did some preliminary studies to say, well, it didn't seem to show any side effects, they didn't do the long-term studies that were needed, that are now showing that these products are maybe not quite so innocuous as once thought.
Well, we look into these things every Monday with Dr. Don Clark. Don, again, a biochemist and a member of the board at creationmoments.com. And he comes to us from Garden Valley, Texas. What's the weather like down there? Is it still summer there? Because we're not up here.
The season is changing. It's going to be in the 80s this week instead of the 90s or 100s. So it's cooling down. And we've had some rain, some good rain this past couple of days, and it's been good. It looks like we're actually heading into fall here.
Okay. Well, Don, it's a treat. We'll look forward to next Monday, and maybe we can follow up on some of these loose ends, at least keep an eye out for subsequent stories and reports and findings, either from that Norwegian study on genetic engineering or from this dinosaur re-aging notion. But this could really create some waves if the media in particular, I guess, take it seriously and get the word out there. So
I want you guys to know that I think the solution is at hand. I think we're moments away from getting the answers to our questions.
Oh yeah. Well, how would you?
I just sent off an email.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you did.
I have.
Oh,
yes,
to the authors.
not to the authors, to the people who were in charge of the conference.
Okay.
And and I just said, hey, 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 hey. I used seven Hays.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe only six. But I said, you know, can you put me in touch with the person who can explain why this abstract was pulled from the conference? And I'm sure they're going to be jumping up and down right now. Even as we speak, they're probably heads being scratched over in Singapore saying, who is this guy? Yeah. And how does he know about this? And we better
Dave to wants him. To know. That's all.
We better, but he's called the news ruminator. What? You know, he must be important.
Yeah,
and, we're gonna maintain that illusion as long as we can.
Well, shake the pillars of science here.
That's right. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I think so.
Nothing that comes to mind right now, but stranger things must have happened.
Don, thanks so much for joining us. It's a blessing having you here. We appreciate the authority you bring, the point of view, and we'll look forward to next week's conversation on what we don't know yet, huh? We'll decide that during the week as new findings come forth. So.
That's right. Well, I'll be part of the week. I'm going to be driving up to Minneapolis. So.
That's right. Board meeting for Creation Moments.
Exactly. Week. On Friday.
So. Okay. Anything earth-shaking going to be discussed at that board meeting? Maybe something we should know about?
No, it's just usual business.
David, he's keeping it hush-hush, I think, David.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So who do I... Now, I would just...
Did you get a response to your email?
No, not yet, but I was just... I was looking at, you know, one of the buttons on that page says this is the list of abstracts that was published, and they go from number four to number six.
Oh, wow. Number five.
I mean, it's obviously not there. Mm. It's just like, well, you didn't even change the numbers? Come on, you guys. If we at least change the numbers. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not very good at this conspiracy.
And so it goes. Want to mention that creationmoments.com is accessible from our website at brokenroadradio.com. And they're a wonderful resource for your church and your Bible studies and your small groups and can furnish DVDs. There's a blog there that Dr. Don takes part in. And you might want to check them out, creationmoments.com. Also, you can hear Ian Taylor's Creation Moments program three times daily here on Broken Road Radio, and we enjoy those too. It brings us so much good information. Dr. Don, thank you very much. We appreciate it. You have a good week. Be blessed.
Okay, thank you.
And the music continues on a Broken Road Radio Monday from Steve Bell. Fashion the stars, but